News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings. It's a little internal business here that wasn't completely internal because we ran into many of you yesterday at Bryant Bank, but that was great turnout for that grand opening of that new location of Bryant Bank. New building that looks like an old building.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. Dolphin and Daru near I-65. And kind of a who's who turnout of listeners and just residents of Mobile that wanted to make sure they were there for the grand opening.
Yeah, that was awesome yesterday, seeing so many of you come out and say hi and check out the new Bryant Bank. As I said earlier, I don't know if we've done a remote with more suits involved in the outside of where we were recording there. But yeah, it was a great time, and the chamber showed up. You had the president of the chamber, Bradley Byrne, who said some words before the ribbon cutting, and that was really cool to see too. But this time of year, it's great, and it's busy. Not complaining, though, because it's a good reason to be as busy as we are with so much that comes along with the football season.
Yeah, you got the football season. You've
school
got
school back in session.
Exactly, yeah.
And
yeah.
A lot of events planned around this time, like what the Chamber has done today, where the annual Business Expo will be underway here in just a couple of hours at the Mobile Convention Center. And the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit made the drive from Bryant Bank on Dolphin yesterday to the convention center, and it's now ready for us there inside the expo.
So Sean's going to do a show from noon to 2 out there.
Midday Mobile Live from the expo. But come out if you get some time during a lunch break, or maybe you can block off more time than that. Not just to come see us, we always appreciate that, but there are plenty of great businesses, small businesses, bigger businesses that come down to that expo, and you can learn a lot about some places you may not have even known were around here. And, you know, even if you're in the job market, you can always make some new contacts. So plenty of great reasons to get down to the Business Expo today, but we would absolutely love to see you. It runs from 10 until, I think, 4 this afternoon at the Mobile Convention
That's
Center.
Right.
So come on down. And you're busy. We're all busy, but you've got to. And I saw this text from Keith earlier. He said, saw Danny Boy on NBC 15 last night reminding us about the game. Looking good. So those promos are running.
Okay. Yeah, we cut those the other day at NBC 15 to promote whatever game's coming up. This one was going to be Sarah Land at Mary G. Montgomery. For whatever reason, it's not going to be that now. No statement from the school district as to why from the central office. But a lot of people disappointed in that. We had to turn the page. I'm going to be at Gulf Shores. Good program. They were 5-6 last year. I would think they're going to turn things around a little bit this year.
Mm-hmm.
They've got some good players. They're really well coached.
And, yeah. How would you compare? And you know, flag footballs. We just started flag football practice this week. I told you we have a lot of coaches this year for the flag football team. You compared it to the TCU coaching staff, but I'd like you to tell me how do you think?
Did I really?
Yeah, you said I think they have more coaches than TCU.
Yeah, like 10. Years.
Yeah, we do. But how do you think we compare to that Gulf Shores coaching staff?
not even meeting any of your staff. Very, very poorly.
How cool is that, though? I mean, we've talked so much about Philip Rivers, of course, coaching and doing a great job at St. Michael, and all, what is it, 30 of his kids that are on the team. But he brings a lot of star power to the Gulf Coast in our regional play. But Gulf Shores, what they've built over there and the coaching staff, that is just cool.
It really is amazing. You know, they've got a lot of former college coaches are on the staff, and including Brian Van Gorder. Now, their defense is headed up by a guy. You got Mark Hudspeth, who's the head coach, and he was a head college football coach as well. Van Gorder has been the defensive coordinator at Georgia, Notre Dame, and I believe the Atlanta Falcons.
Wow.
So the team from Mississippi, Park Lane Academy, when I was talking to their coach on the phone the other day, I was just trying to get, you know, I was looking at the roster, kind of getting an idea of what's what.
Because they've done well in Mississippi.
Yeah, they won the state championship in independent ball the last 2 years. And he said, yeah, well, our freshman, our quarterback is a true freshman.
Ooh.
I'm like, ooh. Because Brian Van Gorder had been around the block on defense, and he'll be sending people from every direction. And that poor kid's going to have he could have a breakdown.
Yeah, I mean, if the Gulf Shores players have really latched on and have been able to download the information that their defensive coordinator's giving them, I can't imagine the disguises and not knowing where different players are coming from that defense. I bet that would be fascinating. If there was some kind of documentary, I would love to see a former NFL and high-level collegiate defensive coordinator coaching some 8th graders, some 9th graders.
Yeah, so in this case, I guess, you know, it's 12th and 11th and 10th graders. But that alone should be interesting to watch and see that matchup. It didn't make me feel any better about the quality of the game when I found out that the quarterback was a freshman facing a Van Gorder defense. But he's probably, I know he's a really good player. Like, university's already looking at this kid.
Okay.
And they've got other players who are going to be, I think they have a kid who's bound for Ole Miss. So they've got some good players on the team. They just don't have as big a squad as Gulf Shores.
Yeah.
More of a smaller independent school.
And for reasons for hope, they can always fall back on what fans of teams who don't know what they have in their quarterback, you always say, well, they don't have much tape out there.
Yeah.
So the defense doesn't know what's going to hit them.
Yeah, Van Gorder doesn't care.
No,
he's going to do the attacking rather than try to wait and be attacked by the quarterback. Should be interesting, though.
Yeah, what hopefully a fun season we have on the way.
I've already got my, I've got my Waze instructions about getting down to Gulf Shores, and it said, like, at this moment, it'll take me an hour and 4 minutes to get to the sports complex in Gulf Shores. Now, is it going to read that at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon?
No.
Will Waze tell me it'll take me an hour and 4 minutes? I don't think so.
No, I'm going to go over on that number. And, of course, we're also very excited about UMS Wright football coverage beginning here on FM Talk 106.5, and that starts tomorrow night, as they also play a team from Mississippi, except UMS Wright will be on the road playing Jackson Prep in Jackson, Mississippi.
How about that? All the way up to Jackson, Mississippi.
Yeah, but we're excited, and we'll have Michael Knapp and Kevin Raley on the call for those games, with pregame beginning at 6:30 and then kickoff at 7 all season long with the UMS Wright Bulldogs. And those of you that have been asking about College Pick'em, it is back for this year. We will officially launch re-signing up or signing up for the first time on Monday of this coming week. That'll give you 2 full weeks to get in there. If you played in previous seasons, get your login out. You might have to do that forgot password thing.
Yeah.
And make sure you get in on the group, because we'll have some great prizes to announce here in the next couple of weeks, and hopefully as many people play as we've seen over the last few years, because that's always a really fun time. But we'll open that up on Monday, and the first weekend of games won't be until September 5th, the Saturday of September 5th. So you'll have 2 good weeks to get signed up then. I know many of you have been asking about that, but with so much going on, I don't want to step on a lot of the other things that the station has, like the America 250 Summer Showcase. And here's your reminder now that a couple weeks left, really less than 2 weeks left.
Yeah, I mean, we're more than halfway through this now, way halfway through this. And so we need to make sure that you are on it and give yourself a chance to win, because the prize pack is unbelievable.
Yeah, and I haven't actually discussed in a few days what's in that prize package, but it's a $4,600 grand prize. And from J&M Tackle, a $2,500 fishing and outdoor package that includes Angler's Mate Senior Fishing Cart, a TurtleBox Gen 3 Bluetooth speaker, Yeti Tundra 45 Patriotic cooler, which fits the theme here of America 250, and 2 Quantum Merit 3000 spinning combos, 2 Quantum Merit 6000 surf combos, a J&M SureHold rope handle bucket that will be filled with about $250 worth of fishing tools and tackle, and a $50 J&M gift card on top of that. G&D Farms also put together a $600 sportsman's package that is very woods and water friendly for those of you out there, our outdoorsmen and outdoors women. Gray's Craze with a $500 charcuterie board and box value set, gift set there, valued at $500. Cart Doctor and Theodore coming through with a $500 value Sound Extreme Elite Power Sports Bluetooth sound bar. This is waterproof, dustproof, and dirtproof with LED lighting and 500 watts through 8 marine grade speakers. You can throw it on your golf cart, you can put it on your boat, ATV, whatever you have that it'll fit on, it can go. And a $500 shopping spree from Piggly Wiggly in any of their locations in Mobile or Baldwin counties. And that's all going to one grand prize winner when we draw for the grand prize on September 1st. To get into the grand prize drawing, you need to win at one of those locations by entering your name in the entry box. Just put your name down and some way for me to get in contact with you if you end up being the winner.
Yeah, name and telephone number will do it.
Telephone
right?
number is great if it's one that you answer. Email if you're more likely to respond on that. But get that into those entry boxes, and each location will draw one winner on the final day of August to be in for the grand prize drawing on the first day of September. And we've also been compiling winners each week on Facebook, facebook.com/FM Talk 106.5, with the Patriotic Photo Contest. Each week, load up a photo that you feel shows your patriotism, whether it's you or your family and friends or what have you. And whoever gets the most likes week in and week out is our weekly winner. And you get an entry into that grand prize as well. Plus, each of our finalists gets a American-made American flag, courtesy of American Legacy Company in Gulf Shores, with the mounting kit, so you're all set and ready to go and put it up at your home or business. And you can also register to win at American Legacy Company. So lots of bookkeeping to get to there.
Yeah, that's right.
We've been so busy, needed to hammer some of that out.
And it was a great day yesterday at Bryant Bank. We can't say that enough. That was what a turnout. What a I know that they were really proud of the whole day for them and the staff. You could tell the pride they all had in being at Bryant Bank in that brand new building, because it was awesome, and everybody that walked in had the same kind of reaction. Like, mm-hmm. my goodness, as cool as it is on the outside, it's just as classy.
Beautiful.
On the
yeah.
inside, right?
Yeah.
Dirt Digger says, oh, thank you, Dirt Digger. He said, I like high school football okay, but I really like watching Dan the Man on TV on Friday nights. Well, you'll see me. It's our 27th year doing it, so had no idea 27 years ago when Comcast, we were just on Comcast Channel 6, when they harangued me to the point where, okay, I'll do it. They wanted me on those broadcasts, and I wasn't sure why, and now it's the 27th year. We're on UTV 44. We moved from Comcast to UTV 44 maybe 20 years ago, maybe more, and our audience went from, tens of thousands to 800,000.
That's
potential audience.
Yeah.
I'm not saying we get all of those eyeballs on us, but that's what the potential audience grew from. And some of the ratings through the years have been amazing. And some of the games, were just high profile. This game is on NBC 15, by the way.
That's awesome.
So not just UTV 44. There's other ways you can watch, Facebook page and online and stuff like that.
We've been talking, a couple things. We've been getting texts on Tennessee and Alabama bringing back their home jerseys versus home jerseys as they play in Knoxville this year and next. Chris in Orange Beach said, I do not even own a piece of orange attire. Roll Tide. He refuses to have orange. Isn't that what Sandra Bullock said in The Blind Side? Like, she doesn't even have orange in her dresser or something like that. But
she said that in that movie?
Yeah, yeah, talking about how much she hated Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an ugly color. He said, and also, the light shows have been insane as these storms have moved through in the afternoon. Noticed Tuesday as it moved through central Mobile County, the lightning and the thunder seemed to just go on for an hour and a half. And Chris in Orange Beach said, I guess yesterday you should have been on my front porch in downtown Foley. It was a show to watch. He said, wild turkey, thunder and lightning, high wind, redneck heaven. And it sounds like that could be on a T-shirt.
Leanna was talking about that, too. She was talking about down her way south of I-10 that she saw rainbows and lightning simultaneously.
Wow. That's almost as cool as a double rainbow.
Yeah.
Like that guy that saw that one time. And Gulf Coast Girl said, morning, guys. Loved seeing you, Dan, in the Bryant Bank parking lot yesterday. So
that's Gulf Coast Girl, yeah.
Yeah, Gulf Coast Girl. You saw Dan. You should have came inside.
I told her
said,
to.
Hey.
She didn't want to leave. Well, her car was very air-conditioned.
Yeah.
I think the 12-second walk from her car into the lobby,
yeah.
that was too much to ask. But she was delightful. She had wonderful things to say about you, so I wish you would have dropped on in.
Yeah, but that heat is and was brutal. 820 FM Talk 106.5, a lot more text to get to, plus some news, obviously, at 251-343-0106 if you want to get in on the conversation.
Yeah, and if you're among those that thinks that going ahead and allowing Lindsey Graham's sister to continue in his place, maybe we have something that will, I don't know, change your mind.
Yeah. I was saying last week, I wish politicians had that chip in their brain where they could only tell the truth. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Darlene Graham has that chip in her brain.
It sounded like it for a moment yesterday. It's 821 with Dan and Dalton.
Turn up your voice on the text line. 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 826. Good morning.
Good morning to you. And we've been talking a little bit about this South Carolina Senate race and the primary runoff now, mostly because the passing of Lindsey Graham and the sudden passing of Lindsey Graham and what that means. Then Darlene Graham was appointed to hold his seat until the term ended, but then decided she wanted to actually run for the sitting Senate seat.
Yes,
and the president gave her the endorsement and everything. So she got through the primary and into a runoff where she's now facing Congressman Ralph Norman. And on Tuesday, the two of them debated, I believe on Newsmax, and Darlene was asked a question about, well, national security. And she was very truthful, but I would love your take on the text line, 251-343-0106. Should she have just made up some crap that she didn't know, just to at least sound like she knew what she was talking about? Or do you think it was good that she was honest here? Listen to this.
Yeah. On the national security question as well, Senator, are Taiwan and the South China Sea national security issues for the United States? If so, why?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
If are Taiwan and the South China Sea national security issues for the United States, and if so, why or how?
I'm just going to be honest here. I'm not on national security. That I'm not that informed on national security, so... But I do support the military. My brother was in the Air Force for 33 years, so I will do everything I can to support the military. My dad was in the Army. I'm not a polished politician up here. National security is not my thing, not my area of expertise, but I do support the military.
Congressman, I'll give you a chance to respond, and I'm sure you recognize that...
Taiwan's a definite ally, and you know, we have a trading relationship with them that is beneficial to the United States, chips being one of them, and others. So what the president is doing right is he's enabling Taiwan to defend themselves against China. But it's peace through strength that he's showing with Iran that China, Russia, others are looking at it so that they don't want to deal with America, and that's why they haven't attacked Taiwan. If they had some weak Democrat in office like Biden or another Obama, yeah, they'd take it over. But we can't let that happen. We got to take a strong a peace through strength is working.
So layup for what should have been both of them, but Norman took that layup. More of an alley-oop for him.
I don't want to seem like I'm biased here. I like Norman's answer better.
And you're just saying that because
he's a guy.
Yeah, but
you're all for the man.
And it should be noted, Biden and Obama were both in office, and China
did not take
Taiwan, yeah. Which was part of his answer. Maybe they would have if Biden had won another term, but we don't know that. But Darlene, I mean, being honest there, saying, listen, national security is not really my thing.
It's not my thing.
I guess the question is, how many things are not her thing? Does she have a thing?
Yeah, well, that's a fair question because she really, really had no clue. My question would be, I would just say, in the first place, if you're about to be on a debate,
mm-hmm.
if you're going to kind of brush up on some things ahead of time with ideas that you might get tossed a question,
our relationship with China may be one of them.
Could be one of them. You know, I don't know what she would expect going into a debate on national TV, on mm-hmm. Newsmax.
Yeah.
It wasn't at the South Carolina, you know, the Charleston Library.
No, and if you're running for Congress, you know, running for the House, I might actually kind of respect that if you say, listen, that's just not my specialty. I'm more of a mm-hmm. blank person.
Right.
That's what I would focus on.
Yeah.
But as one of 100 sitting U.S. senators, you have to know more about the South China Sea and Taiwan.
And Norman himself is a congressman. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
At least she was truthful, right? We can't say that about most politicians. Rob Holbert joins us next.
Stay on top of big news and the local beat with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig on Mobile Mornings.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. 8:35, round up a little bit here. Rob Holbert was with the Lanyap Mobile, of course. and joins us now in a really interesting conversation you had with a local political figure. At least, was he a political figure for 3 months, Dalton?
That didn't
work out.
There was some discussion for a while, some serious discussion about whether Paul Feinbaum would run for Senate early on in that race. And Rob, thanks for coming on, but we won't start talking with Paul again until next week, and those usually focus on the football weekends at hand. But you got to discuss much more with him yesterday when you were on, or whenever you had that conversation with him before you published the story yesterday.
It was very nice of him to take the time to talk, and I figured, you know, while it is football season here now, but I thought, you know, need to find out about this political run, because I was never sure if he was really serious or not.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained the whole thing. It was a pretty good story. And yes, he was serious. He said he was really interested in possibly running for U.S. Senate. And I think had it not been for the fact that football season had already started, he just kind of had a lot of things going on at the same time, he probably would have done it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't want to give away too much from the story because it's really good, but the run really kind of started as a joke, right? A joke while Tuberville was in attendance.
It started with a joke when they were in a place where he was speaking, and he made some comment to the effect that he and his wife had moved back to Birmingham, and which gave him something that Tommy Tuberville didn't have, residency.
Yeah.
And, you know, just making a joke at Tuberville's expense, which, I mean, he said Tuberville laughs, and they, you know, it wasn't meant in a sure. pointed negative way. It was
right.
just to be funny with him. And, but I guess that apparently got somebody in the crowd thinking, somebody who's a kingmaker. He wouldn't say who the person was, but somebody in, I guess, politically powerful in the state called him up the next day or talked to him the next day and said, you know, you did great last night. Would you think about running for Senate? And Feinbaum said, he just wrote back, yes, instead of really saying, hey, you know, I'm busy, whatever. And he said that within minutes, the train was off. You know, people were calling him, and he was sort of being drafted.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the feeling? And you're flattered because all these important people are telling you, we want you, you can win. That's like all the experiences that Paul Feinbaum has had as a reporter and a radio host and all the different things he's done. This was probably just so far out of the norm for him. I can imagine it kind of just overwhelmed him a little bit for a while.
I think so. You know, that's kind of how he explained it. So it just got to the point where it was a lot of people saying, hey, you've got to get in now and do this. But he had football going on. But, I mean, it was serious enough that he informed ESPN about it
and told
them that he was really considering it. And so, he said, you don't tell your boss you're thinking about doing this as a joke.
No, not when your boss is ESPN, for sure. And,
right.
Yeah, I took a couple things, too, out of this story about just, you know, what it means to become a senator or even a congressman. First, that he noted he would have done really well because of his history in front of the camera and how much being an elected politician these days is more about being an entertainer in front of the camera. And the other thing is how much of your time it takes, that he was being told by everyone that, okay, if you are going to do this, you really do have to quit everything else you're doing and just focus on running for Senate, which means to me, when senators are running for re-election or you have members of Congress running for Senate, I don't see how they're doing their actual day jobs at the same time, going and voting and looking into different policy issues when they're more focused on just staying in office.
Well, having worked up there for a couple of years, I can tell you that they are only in session half the year.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time they are out politicking, most of them, you know, and especially when you get, you know, that's why, you know, when it's an election year, I mean, this time of year, especially at August recess, and you start to see fewer and fewer people there, and there's a lot of breaks. There's a lot of folks going and campaigning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and another thing, too, that you brought up to us right before we got on the air is something that Dalton and I certainly have found as far as Paul is like personally, is he's really gracious with his time. He's gracious to us to talk to us every week. We've had occasion where he is live on the air on ESPN and we're watching the TV thinking, he needs to call us. Like, he's due to call here soon. And he's like, yapping at Stephen A. Smith. And then they'll go to a commercial break. Our phone will ring. And he apologizes and for being a little bit late.
And he's given us the exact same kind of passion and that he's given on ESPN. He's a good dude. I know a lot of people think a lot about him because of his radio program and the fights that occur on there. But every interaction I've had with Paul Feinbaum, he's just solid.
Yeah, I guess you found him that way.
This is the second time I've interviewed him. The first was many years ago. He was just super kind and gave me more than an hour to talk to him. I mean, he doesn't have to talk to little old Lanyap in Mobile. I mean, that's not going to move the needle for him. it's nice for him to do that.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about more than just moving a needle, moving an airport from West Mobile.
Yeah, that was number one of our three big things this morning. And there's just this is something that Dalton and I have kind of speculated, just kicked the can around a little bit, really haven't, dove into, like, what's it going to take to move an airport? And then when you look at the story itself, it is just, it seems like an impossible task.
The logistical challenges alone.
But amazing.
They're making their way right now, Paul. They're making their way right now, Rob.
it is. They're really doing a lot. And I mean, I know that even just talking with Sandy Stimson, who's now running the authority, and just some things like, they ended up putting in roundabout, that they had not had designed, and they realized, we're going to have a traffic issue if we don't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that became a big deal. That was just something that had not originally been there, and they had to redo that. But that's the story this week that we have. Scott Johnson just did that is, just about all the things they're trying to get done here as we're sort of in the final days of getting the thing done and get it going. And so there's a lot to do and there's a lot to close out. And they do have, they're working breakneck, I think.
They've got a partner, Vasey Aviation Group, who is now tasked with kind of tying all these loose strings together and making sure all the details are finalized. I don't know what they're paying them. They're probably worth every dime.
Well, I'm sure that they're getting a decent amount, but it is a lot, man. I mean, it's behind schedule. It's been behind schedule. So they're really trying to get it finished up at this point and get it functional. And I mean, it is really, you don't see it happen very often. I mean, most cities, their airport stays their airport and stays the same place for ever and ever and ever. And you think about how long Mobile Regional Airport has been where it is, and this will be there, where it is downtown for decades.
Yeah.
And so it's a big change. It's a big move.
One thing you see, Dalton,
just a whole lot of logistics.
Often you'll see renovations at airports because you'll land somewhere and you'll see the construction going on.
Yeah. Sure.
But that's at the same place, right?
Yeah, and some of those renovations take years and years and years alone.
Yep.
I guess Charlotte is going through.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me to this, because I don't feel like I've really earned much of a right to complain too much about Mobile Regional, just because I don't fly as much as I used to, and I wasn't flying a whole lot then. But every time I have gone on a flight over the last 5 years, there's always something, and it usually seems to have to do with staffing. And I know that a lot of those employees are actually staffed by the airlines themselves, but I'm just hoping when they make this big move that they're able to shore some of that up, and that, I don't know if more staff needs to be hired or what it is, but when your plane lands and you're waiting out on the tarmac for an extra 15, 20 minutes for them to just get things in order and get you off the plane, and then after that you're waiting even longer for the bags to come off the plane, I'm hoping that during this transition it's also kind of a fresh start for a lot of what's been riling people up about traveling out of West Mobile for the last couple decades.
Yeah, I mean, I think, with anything like this, you want to hit the ground, you want to be at top speed when you hit the ground. You don't want to have people come out there for the first time and have things not completed, or, it's going to get better in 3 months. Mobilians, we're sort of notorious for that anyway. It's like, we don't like, if it ain't great from the beginning, we kind of lose interest real quick.
Write it off,
I think there'll be some expectation. People have skepticism of our airport and have had it for a long time just simply because the prices have been high.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've lost a lot of share that this airport, the regional airport, has lost some share. And this is, I mean, obviously all of this is about getting their market share back and gaining new market share. So to do that, you've got to really have a good customer experience. And I'm sure that they are super focused on that. I know they are. And I hope that it will be that, exactly like you said. I hope it will be that way.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Customer experience. Mm-hmm. You nailed it.
And Rob, too, as the stories from Pritchard, you know, keep rolling in, and now the latest news, finance director being arrested. But you guys have a story in the paper this week. Kyle Hamrick wrote it, that a neighborhood in the northern part of Pritchard.
By the University of Mobile.
Yeah, looking to maybe leave Pritchard and they hope join Saraland. And they didn't have to try hard to make a good argument, but they made a good argument nonetheless for why Pritchard isn't satisfying their needs as members of the community. And they're not getting for what they're paying for, which they basically say right now is just garbage collection, which isn't working on time or properly most of the time. But UM tried this a couple of years back, right? The actual university wanted to, and that fell through. What do you see? And this is a loaded question, actually, now that I think about it, but what comes next for Pritchard? I mean, where do they go from here? It seems like such a difficult problem to get this back and working.
Problems.
I always get this mental image of maybe Pritchard being in an iron lung and somebody just kicking the plug out of the wall. I don't know. That's sort of it. It's in bad shape. The people, the areas that are trying to de-Pritchardize themselves have a good point. And it is very difficult at this point to look at it and say, how do you get it? How do you get back to anything? I mean, the water system presents an unbelievable expense that I see no way that the city can handle that. That is going to require something completely different. The other issues of, you know, do we dissolve the police department, or do we just, you know, try to bring new people in, et cetera? Those are all big expenses. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, the sheriff's department Sheriff Birch has estimated it would take him, he said $3 million to get a new police department up and running, and then another $2 million a year. And I think the city budget is about $2 million or $3 million. It would just be so much going on, and they have such a small tax base at this point. And then, you know, I mean, it just seems very difficult. And you look at it and you go, okay, well, you got the mayor and the council fighting with each other. And then the mayor thinks, hey, what we ought to do is rebuild an old stadium. That's going to help do it. I mean, you've got a lot of weird stuff going on there. And,
it's bleak. It's just completely bleak.
It is bleak. I think that's a good word for it. It does look a little bleak. And I don't know how to get past that. I don't know how they're going to get past that.
I mean, Phoenix City was across from Columbus, Dalton. So when I lived in Columbus for Georgia 8 years, Phoenix City had a reputation. I used to call it the city that walked with a limp. So it was still recovering. It was still recovering from the things in the 50s and the Dixie Mafia and all that.
Yeah.
But it was kind of, it pushed past it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was still noticeably, there was something when you crossed that bridge over to Phoenix City, it wasn't like Columbus, Georgia.
Right.
This is a completely different situation in Pritchard. I can't even describe it.
Well, you know, I guess, and it's only going to be more difficult if more people successfully leave the city, mm-hmm. right? But
it only gets worse.
Yeah,
yes.
It only gets worse.
But the start would have to be policing and infrastructure, and maybe the two what appear now to be the most insurmountable obstacles. You get those right, then maybe you can start back
up. If the city could win a lottery, you know, Pritchard's that down and out guy that needs to win the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. But cities are not eligible to win lotteries, are they, Rob?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe the mayor can go buy some scratch-offs. I don't know. I think, you know, you look at something like the data centers that wanted to come in there, and I know that that's a very hot topic, but, you know, would that have been some revenue for them? Would that have been worthwhile? Maybe so. You know, they've got to have some tax base at some point, mm-hmm. and if they don't get a tax base, there's just nothing else you can do.
Yep.
You gotta have some money.
Well,
and you have to spend it wisely. And
that's That's the thing, too, yeah.
Those are all the issues.
Yeah, I was going to say, even if they won the lottery, it's how is that money spent, right?
Now, if you spend it on an old stadium, bad move. Yeah, that's not a good plan.
It's like going out and getting a jet ski or something once you win the lottery, I guess. Or
they need to go tour Lad Peebles and see how that's working out before they do something like that.
Rob, another great issue on stands now. Love seeing Feinbaum on the cover. And, of course, folks, if you're listening now, you can hear him on the afternoons here, 2 to 6 on FM Talk 106.5. But if people want to get that, the print issue of Lanyap, or better yet, sign up online, how can they do that?
You can go to the purple boxes all around town, and that's where to the print. And if you want to see what we're doing online, which is a lot of news, news all week long, you can go to lanyapmobile.com, get signed up. It's just $1 for the first month, and it's just 30 cents a day after that, $9 a month.
Including Tommy Hicks' preview on high school football teams, my official cheat sheet for the season that begins tomorrow.
That's right. You get them all, man. All right. Y'all have a great weekend.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks.
Rob Holbert, Lanyap, lanyapmobile.com. 8:51 now. We'll come back to wrap Mobile Mornings up and let you know who's coming up on the Jeff Poor Show and any texts we get to also.
Turn up your voice on the text line, 251-343-0106. Now, back to Mobile Mornings.
And on the way to the Jeff Poor Show.
Coming up on the Jeff Poor Show, Bradley J. with Breitbart News in hour number one. That'll be just after 9:30. April Marie Fogle with 1819 News joins just after 10:30. And then from Pathway Church, Travis Johnson at 11 o'clock on the Jeff Poor Show on the way. Looking at the text line, 251-343-0106. Texter says, why are you guys lying about data centers generating tax revenue for the city of Pritchard, Alabama? I'm not sure what you mean about lying.
Rob brought it up. Why is that a lie?
Because, I mean, the data center, which Pritchard's residents have made pretty clear they do not want it there, even with the closed-loop water system, and that's not a new conversation. It's happening across the entire country, and maybe it would come with too many ills to make it worth it, but saying that they're turning down tax revenue by not accepting the data center is not a lie. If you accept any of these new businesses, unless you give them some big tax break that completely keeps them from paying taxes to your municipality, then there will be taxes coming in. So,
yeah,
not a lie.
I don't think it's a lie.
They're turning down tax money by turning that down.
Chris in Orange Beach says about Darlene Graham, wow, a politician that actually speaks the truth for Miss Graham. She gets my vote. Well, Chris, maybe she does, but you can't vote in South Carolina.
Or maybe he can. We don't know. Maybe he's voting in Alabama and South Carolina.
Okay.
But it is kind of funny that last week I was saying, I would love it if politicians, I forget how we got off on that, but if they did have a chip in their brain that forced them to tell the truth when they debate, because people were wanting more debates in Alabama.
Yeah.
And the heavy favorites aren't going to debate.
Tuberville's not going to debate. Jerry Carl's not going to debate. Mm-mm. There's no political gain in debating.
No. But.
And the point is to win the race.
And I always feel that as much as I would like for, you know, these different candidates to debate so you could see their issues, their where they stand on policies and issues, you never really get the juice out of it that you need because they find their way to politic around any kind of answer. And you generally, for me, leave or after watching a debate going, okay, well, we didn't really learn much there. But if they had to tell the truth, then maybe you would. And Darlene Graham, who answered that question about China and Taiwan.
Did she?
By saying she has no idea what the heck she's talking about.
Yeah. It's truth.
But it's a bit disqualifying at the same time.
You're right. It certainly seemed like that to me. And it was honest, but it was honest in a very nervous, I have no answer way.
Yeah. And with her brother's history in international affairs, I'm surprised she didn't pick any of that up. 8:58, Jeff Poor on the way next.
If you or someone you know is...